This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Jiminy, criminy crickets, November 10th, 2016. 2 days after the implosion of the planet. Or is it? I guess that would be the question. What's up, Mary Goulet?
Hello.
Someone's smiling at
Mary
the table.
Mary Goulet. Yes. Richie Ote, what's up, baby?
And, how you doing?
Whitey Wade hanging out over there. Hey, man. All right. So, as we said last week, this time next week, which is now, we would know exactly what happened.
Yes.
And now we know exactly what happened.
We do.
Did you see this coming, Mary Goulet?
Okay. I'm going to tell you something weird because
please.
I'm weird. So I'm really...
And we love that you're weird.
So on Tuesday, when I drive to the studio, I typically pray a rosary because I get this freeway anxiety long distance.
Mm-hmm.
Only south, not north, which is weird.
And Wade couldn't move the studio closer.
Closer? No, he had to move it another exit further.
Well, it's not that. You're just saying like driving north. That's because you're going home.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So you're praying the rosary.
Praying the rosary, and then I'm like...
Which Jews do that, by the way, with rolls of money. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's what we do. Yeah. God help me. God help me as I'm flipping through the... Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Yes, rosary. Flipping.
So...
Bead thingies.
So I had a thought too. Okay, well, I'm going to have to vote when I get back after the show. And then all of a sudden I heard this... Literally, I heard this... He's going to win.
Was that Dave?
No.
Was Dave sitting
next
to you?
No, it wasn't. I just had this thought. He's going to win.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Let's put some context around that. So that's 11-ish in the morning. Yeah. So we hadn't seen anything come through yet from anybody.
It was about probably 10:30, 11.
He's going to win. Okay. And
So then Dave
Jesus
and I
was right.
Then I voted. Then we went for a walk and we stopped to just check out where the results were at. It was only like 4 in the afternoon.
So not a lot, yeah.
But you could start seeing the reds. I'm like, maybe he will get this. But I knew Florida was a holdout, Pennsylvania, and those were
Michigan,
big.
Michigan, Wisconsin, yeah.
So anyway, that was my little bit of an experience with it.
Yeah, and...
still stunning.
Peter Thiel saw that one coming. That's the PayPal. What was he with? He was a PayPal? No, that
was... Yeah, he was one of the PayPal.
He was PayPal, so he dropped $1 million
Peter
into that.
Peter Thiel... Elon Musk.
Right, those guys. And he saw that one coming. Everybody thought he was a loon for like, why would you take $1 million and throw it at that campaign?
But this Zip, did you guys hear about Zip?
Mm-mm.
Somewhere in San Diego or North County?
Mm-mm.
This Zip publication called Trump a while ago.
Mm. They said he was going to win it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's interesting, right? And let me just actually round robin it here real quick. Richie, did you see this one coming or no?
I saw it easily being able to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually... try to put energy into hoping it happened.
Yeah.
But every single time when you go back and listen to the old episodes of what we did, I just say the one that moves the people most emotionally will win.
Yeah.
Every single time. And so that's what he did. Whether you like it or not, whether you like what he was about or not, like I'm not even getting into any of that stuff. He was able to touch a nerve. And the smarter play, I think, was... His team knows 40% are going to vote Republican, 40% are going to vote Democrat, and so you got to sway that 20%.
Yeah.
And he was smarter. He went in the places that weren't red or blue, the states that are in between the red and blue ones, right? And so...
Now, I know we're going to talk about this because you want to cover some of the stuff on the Moving Forward Mondays.
Yeah.
So I know we'll be talking about that as well. But let's, Wade, just chime in real... look at Wade.
He's on the phone.
Look at Wade. He's always working that guy. He's always on the phone.
He's calling Trump
right now to try to get him on the show. Actually, there we go. All right, so Wade, did you see this one coming?
No, because I didn't think the volume of numbers were there.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can throw in 3 thoughts real quick.
Well, you got time for 1.
well, okay, then 2.
Wow. Wait, here's what you can do. You can do 1 thing with 3 parts. You want to do that?
Well, so fundamentally, I'm amazed that the left-wing position of helping the common working man... got picked up by Trump, and everybody is acting like, why didn't anybody think of this before?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I've worked in the past where we had a product that everybody said they wanted, and then it's like, well, maybe not. And it's like, well, hold on. But then somebody else came out with the exact same thing under a slightly different brand. They went, oh, this is exactly what we've been looking for. And it's like, wait, we've had this for like 10 years. So just sorry that was kind of rambly, but it boggles my mind.
So
right?
In other words, buy the Snuggie instead of the Slanket. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly.
Okay.
But the second thing is, I think where the polls went wrong is they focused on likely voters rather than registered voters.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that haven't been voting came out, and I think it kind of comes down to this. The Republicans have a tradition of ignoring the working man. So the blue collar got used to being ignored by the Republicans. But in the 90s, it looks like the Democrats got enamored with the high tech, you know, okay, why don't you move to San Francisco and be an app developer?
Mm-hmm.
And they started ignoring the working man by going, oh, but look at this new high-tech urban world we've got.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this was the working man first being ignored by the Republicans for decades, now being ignored by the Democrats for decades as they're painting this bright, shiny, futuristic future.
Mm-hmm.
And they just did a primal scream.
Yeah.
They just went, screw you all. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to us.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, when you look at the polling, right? I mean, the polling, it's you know, of course, it's not an exact science because it's just been proven out. But reality is, I think it came down to a lot of folks just didn't simply want to admit it. You know, it's like they don't want to go public with the thought that, hey, this guy is aligned with Trump or this woman is aligned with Trump. They just don't want to be publicly outed for saying this is who I'm going to vote for. And I think in this case, because you had such a polarizing figure, to go out and say I am going to cast my vote for this man is something that they probably in their own minds felt like they would get chastised about, they would catch flag for,
yeah,
et cetera.
I was talking to Wade about that earlier.
But here's where I push back on that. That may be the case in California. But if you're in Iowa, if you're, you know, these places that did vote heavily, I don't think it was them not admitting to the pollsters as much as the pollsters dismissing them because, well, you're not a likely voter.
Or traditionally, you are a blue state, right? I mean, like Wisconsin and Iowa, I don't think had gone blue in over 12 years.
Yeah,
something like
but
that.
Wisconsin,
so,
definitely.
And to that point, I think Clinton did not do her typical sort of, you know, rallying the crowds in those states.
I think they
especially
thought they
Michigan.
Had a shoe in.
Oh, there was definitely
exactly.
a smell of arrogance on their side.
And I will say, and I will go on record to say I voted for Clinton. There's no way I could have voted for Trump. But there was a very small, actually, not such a small, a fairly large piece of me that was thinking, like, you know, it would be kind of interesting to see what would happen if we put someone in office that was absolutely positively not definable as a politician, just to see if and in fact anything could change. Because, you know, we like Obama, you know, love Obama. The fact this guy has got to be, I mean, talk about like what he must do to his pillows when he gets home, like when he gets back into that Lincoln room or the, you know, the White House or whatever. I mean, he just must punch the shit out of these pillows at this point because like he is so calm and just like
right.
We have to, you know, we have
come
to
together.
Honor our democratic process and this, that, and the other. But good God, that's got to be hard for him. But I will say this, which is I don't understand the protesting. I don't understand what's going on because reality for me is let's be clear about what we're protesting about because ultimately you can't protest the democratic process, right? I mean, because in the democracy that we live in, the people spoke. It is based on the Electoral College. Clinton won the popular vote by whatever it turns out to be. She lost the electoral vote. She lost the election. So what are you protesting? Are you saying it's rigged? If that's the premise.
I don't hear that.
Right. So,
Just want dump Trump. Get out of get him.
Well, but that's not going to happen. It's,
right.
Effort and futility.
I think this proves out the urban-rural divide. Just the urban people can't conceive of Trump being elected. The rural people can't conceive of Hillary being elected. And this just points out how stark the difference is. And if you go in and they look at things, as the economy's doing okay, you know, unemployment's down, but it's mainly on the coasts.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to the Midwest, they are literally living in a different world.
For sure.
Now, my issue from my point of view, you know, this is personal opinion, is their world's got to catch up to ours. But they are comfortable in that world. They don't understand why that other world is changing. So let me just leave it at that. I think they need to catch up. But fundamentally, this is the stark divide of people are living in two completely different worlds
yeah.
and cannot envision the world the other's living in.
Yeah, for sure. And this is not a new conversation in terms of seeing folks in the rural communities and in those markets that, frankly, aren't exactly on the trending side of the equation. They're not cutting edge. They're not creating, you know, a lot of what other people tend to follow. And so they, well, typically fall in line once it kind of pushes in from the coast. I mean, that's what happens. It starts in New York or Florida or LA or San Francisco, whatever, and it kind of pushes inland in terms of the trends. They're not setting trends, this, that, and the other. I mean, that's just the reality of how things are. But at the same token, I think what this does more than anything else is it gives people the opportunity to recognize that even though the quote-unquote power lies in some of these major metropolitan areas, lies with the decision makers that have the money, this, that, and the other, the ultimate power still lies with the people, with the masses who have the ability to take action and do something that, frankly, we thought might have been impossible. So it's really a very, very strong, stark lesson in, number one, you just can't take things for granted. Number two, you got to get out and vote. I mean, period, end story. To have 30% of the available population who can vote to come out and vote, that's an atrocity. I mean, it is just, it's a flat-out atrocity that we're not getting more people to the polls. And at the end of the day, hopefully, and we'll talk about this more on Rich's Moving Forward Monday, but hopefully this will end up being something that has positive impact. That's all we can hope for. All right, guys, we'll talk to you next time here on The Sound Off.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.